Brothers and sisters, family and friends, we welcome everyone to this funeral service for Jewel Belknap Furness. The family prayer this day was offered by Donna Lee Belknap. We appreciate Sister Sherry Robinson for the lovely prelude music which she has played for us. We'll begin this funeral service by an invocation by Sister Arlene Belinga. Then we'll have a musical selection by Lynn R. Pulsifer in the garden. He will be accompanied by his wife, Jean. Following the musical selection, we'll then have a tribute by Lois B. Erickson. And then our first speaker will be Gordon L. Belknap. Following his remarks, we'll then have a musical selection by Roca Raymond, Sometime We'll Understand, accompanied by Sister Carlene Dickamore.
Our Heavenly Father, we are met here today as friends and relatives of Sister Jewel Furness, and we pray, Heavenly Father, that we might have Thy Spirit to be with us. We pray that Thou will bless this gathering with the Spirit that the Gospel brings into our lives and the comfort and strength it gives us at times like these. We know that Jewel is happy this day, and we pray that Thou will bless all those who take part in these services this day, that they might be blessed and able to express themselves as they would do. Bless those who will give musical selections, that they might have Thy Spirit to be with them. We thank Thee for the blessings of knowing Jewel and for her strength and character and love. And we pray that Thou will bless all this day in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And a tribute to Aunt Jewel. How are you today?
Well, I'm still here.
This was the way that most of our daily conversations began. I miss talking with her today, but she has endured to the end. And now our lives, we have to go on. She has taken with her a great historical heritage. She told our daughter a story that Martha McBride had told her about Indians when she was just a little girl sitting with Grandma. It is amazing her knowledge of genealogy, and she kept in touch with many of them throughout her entire life. We will hear the stories, but she knew the people. Gilbert, Adeline, Henrietta, all of their relatives, she could name them names and tell the stories and how they belonged to the family. She had an outstanding memory, and she prayed she would always retain it right to the end, and she did. She remembered each pill by the feel of it, and until last May, she was quite self-sufficient. She was a leader, a doer, a hard worker. She was frugal, thrifty. She was modest and liked things neat, clean, and orderly. She loved beautiful flowers, and their garden in Ammon was a showplace of color. Her home here has some extraordinary varieties of flowers and shrubs. She was an achiever. She played the piano well and could quickly add a column of figures, and she could work with money. To the last, she kept track of her business and knew to the penny the amount of money in her checkbook. She had been a secretary to a patriarch and enjoyed her legal work, too, as a secretary. I remember going with my family to see Aunt Jewel and Uncle Glenn after the death of their two infant children. I remember going to Heber City and Uncle Glenn setting off firecrackers in the morning to wake us all up for breakfast. I accompanied Aunt Della on many rides and trips, and one time we went to Ammon, Idaho, and Aunt Jewel and Uncle Glenn took us to see the Craters of the Moon, the national park, and that was so exciting for me. They both loved nice things and did a lot of entertaining in their home. She was delighted to welcome visitors on September 10th. Of this year when she was featured at a birthday party when she turned 88. All the trimmings were there, and she thoroughly enjoyed herself welcoming each visitor. We stopped several times with our family on our way to Yellowstone, and they were always happy to see us. A treat for us, though, was their early morning Christmas visits. They always arrived early to watch the children open their presents. They sometimes had presents, too, but they always had a big sack of candy. Aunt Jewel suffered adversities and disappointments in her life, and her greatest frustration was losing her eyesight. Yet she still insisted on remaining in her own home. She missed going to the temple and to sacrament meetings and seeing her friends and the doctor's faces. She was a missionary. She knew the gospel was true, and she said the other day, one of her greatest joys was hearing the reading by her father of the testimony of Gilbert Belknap of the prophet Joseph Smith. He had known him well. She used her talking book and listened to the material from the Ensigns and the Relief Society lessons, and she was thankful and grateful for these messages. Another great quality she had was to say thank you and express her gratitude and appreciation for all that was done for her by relatives, friends, nurses, doctors, and so on. She loved the telephone calls, but visits seemed to erase the loneliness for a while. One day in the hospital, she said, "I always try to be nice to everyone, and then they are nice to me." I thought this was good advice to all of us. She was blessed to receive help from many, but two special people should be mentioned here today. One is Joy Belknap, who has helped her with her finances, ran errands, got groceries, and so on for over 11 years. She is largely responsible for her being able to stay at home. And then Irvine Van Orden, a perfect angel, is a dear friend who looked around and did anything that had to be done. She even sacrificed her evenings and her night times to stay with Aunt Della and was with her as she said goodbye. I bear my testimony that I know that God lives and Jesus Christ is his Son, our Savior, and our Redeemer. May we keep all of his commandments and so live to hear him say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
She'd given birth to three boys. Been 10 years to the and one day the little baby was brought in, placed in mother's arms. The mother looked down and said, "What a jewel." And that's how Aunt Jewel got her name. It was 10 years and one day since the youngest of the three boys had been Earl Belknap, Bruce's the father, Arius Belknap, my father, Lolly Belknap, Blaine's father. 10 years and one day, Aunt Jewel was born. And so she was named A Jewel. They couldn't agree upon the name, whether they want Abigail or what they wanted for A, so they just gave her the initial. But she dropped that. She never went by A. She just kept that going. But my dad went by the name of A. Arius Belknap, they called him A. So I'm glad that Aunt Jewel wasn't A too. We couldn't have kept them segregated. I've often wondered about funerals, the purpose of a funeral, the meaning, the intent. And come to find out that I savor the funerals because you learn so much about people, their lives, their accomplishments, what they've done. And it motivates us to do better, to strive, climb higher, walk the road a little straighter, and try to achieve more. I was the youngest in the family. Lois was really, I guess she kind of raised me. She was the oldest sister, and I was always a little boy. I don't know how older you are than me. It has to be at least 20, 30 years older than me, aren't you, Lois? But to me, all my aunts and uncles were adults as I was growing up. They were all adults. And I was just a little tag along that happened to be there. First I ever remember Aunt Jewel was in Ammon, Idaho. A little brick building sitting on the corner. Here a few years ago, I was working up in Idaho. I drove over to see if it was still there, and it was still there. Little red brick two-story building. They had the old gas pump out in front. kind of the shell oil that came up with that little container on top. So you filled it, and you'd pump the gas back and forth. It would fill up there. Then they would gravity flow it into the car. Uncle Glenn and Aunt Jewel let me do the pumping. I wasn't big enough to hold the other, but I was dumb enough to pull the pump back and forth. And Aunt Jewel was the cashier inside the store. And that's my first recollection of Aunt Jewel. I don't remember ever before then ever meeting her or my aunts and uncles, because here again I was just, you know, the tail end of the family and kind of a little tag along. It wasn't too many years after that they moved the store. I guess they'd done very well at that business. They moved a little ways north. I think it's north, half mile or so, and they built a new store. Nice white brick rambler home, split level out the back with a beautiful garden out in back, the little store attached to the side of it. We drove up there many times to see Aunt Jewel, Uncle Glenn, especially going, as my sister said, going to Yellowstone. We'd always stop there because we always got free root beer. And I can remember drinking root beer and then having to burp because I was so little I could just barely hold it all. The thing that I remember the story was Aunt Jewel was always the cashier. She always took care of the customers, always did the things, and I guess she was probably the business head. I'm not sure. Uncle Glenn also had a store across the river, just across the bridge there in Idaho Falls. It's not there now, but there's a big motel located where the little grocery store was. He had sold vegetables and fruits at that store. But I can remember the most interesting evening I ever spent. Up there, we had slept in the basement. They had just those pole chain lights. Uncle Glenn had rigged strings all through the basement so he could pull the lights on and off from any place. And that's where he stored all the supplies, the inventory for the grocery store. Well, Aunt Jewel took us down there and said, okay, you can sleep down here, boys. That was my brother Don, Ralph, and myself. And I can remember they put us down there in the basement. And there we slept, looking at the cartons of candy bars on the shelf. All night long, I looked at the candy bars. I don't think I slept. I don't think I did anything but look at candy bars. The next morning, Aunt Jewel came down, counted them to make sure they were still all there. She did give us a candy bar after that, I can remember. It was a few years later, she moved to Ogden. She located her home on 32nd Street. Where she built her home was where the old potato patch used to be. During World War II, I'd go out there with my dad, and that's where we raised potatoes, was where her home was built. Those big trees right by her home, I used to lean up against those trees. Dad would go back, leave me there to work, and I'd take a few little siestas up against those big trees there. Well, I can remember the home there on 32nd Street, and I ran across a plat not too long ago. They showed the old family farm. I really hadn't known the extensive size of that farm. My Uncle Byron, you probably remember that farm very well. It went all the way from the crest of the hill down below Monroe. It overlooked the city where Belknap Circle is now located. And Uncle Earl and Volney had their homes there. All the way up 32nd Street to Harrison. Out along Harrison to 36th Street and down to Jackson. I can remember as a little boy being tagged along with my oldest brother to go milk the cows, running through the pasture out there where those churches and schools are at 32nd and Harrison. And so Aunt Jewel built her home, and next door to her, of course, was three houses, was Aunt Della. Next to them were Aunt Gladys, Uncle Emmett, where they located in that area. So it was interesting, the heritage there that she brought as she moved into the area. I can remember a lot of things about Aunt Jewel in my later years, maturity of years, because I didn't know her too well as a youngster. But as my sister said, she was extremely keen of mind. Even though she couldn't see much, I would read things to her. And she'd make me say, is that letter capitalized? Is there a period there? Is there a comma there? And she would correct everything I ever did, because she was so keen right up to the very last day of her life. The thing I remember most about my family, my aunts and uncles, is they were always there. They were always there. Be it a missionary farewell, a homecoming, a wedding, you would always see my three little aunts always there. We could count on them. So loyal, so faithful, so supportive of everything we did. Aunt Jewel, Aunt Della, Aunt Gladys, they were always at everything we ever did. At every birthday, at every event that happened. We had a lot of family parties. The family did, folks. And I always used to sit in or sneak in, watch what the aunts and uncles were doing at their birthday parties. They had parties all the time. They'd have their get-togethers and what they would do. And I recall a party, it's kind of an embarrassment, I have to admit this, Uncle Emmett, but I've never told him this. I was probably about 16, 17, working out at North Ogden Canning Factory, about a 12-hour shift a day, canning tomatoes out there. They had a birthday party at Aunt Gladys's and Uncle Emmett's home. When I got off work, I was to call up Uncle Emmett's place, and my father would come and get me because I rode to and from work on the bus. Well, they had one birthday party every year because Arius Belknap was born on September the 6th. Vaughn Lee Belknap was born on September the 9th. Jewel Belknap was born on September the 10th. Della Belknap was born on September the 11th. And my Uncle Byron Belknap on September 19th. So you could get all your birthday parties in one. And so the other than Aunt Gladys, you and Uncle Earl, they were not born in September. So five of the seven children all born in September. Well, I got home from work, said, okay, Dad, I'll call you at Uncle Emmett's house. You can come and get me while you're getting, come and get me. I'll get cleaned up and I'll come over, because we always had to go to the birthday parties because that was just the way we did things. Well, I got home from work, picked up the telephone. Well, I'll call Uncle Emmett. Well, everybody knows who Uncle Emmett is. Well, what was his last name? I had no idea what his last name was. Aunt Gladys, Uncle Emmett, Aunt Della, Aunt Jewel, Uncle Vaughn, Uncle Earl, Uncle Byron. I didn't know his last name. I didn't know what to do. So I knew Della's last name because she had the same as mine, Della Bellamp. So I looked in the phone book and found the address of 815. So I started through the phone book, looking for 815. I called the operator and says, I need my added phone number from my Uncle Earl, or Uncle Emmett. Well, who? Well, everyone knows Uncle Emmett. I've known him for years. Why don't you know him? I'm sure glad, Uncle Emmett, your name started with a C. Or I probably never would have got to that party that evening, because I did not know his last name, because we always knew him by Aunt Gladys, Uncle Emmett, etc. It was interesting today listening to Lynn Pulsifer sing. I just got to tell a little story on Lynn. I was just calculating in my mind while you were singing. It had to be 46 years ago now that I stood alongside of him at every choir practice we had in the old 20th Ward. He sang tenor, marvelous tenor. I tried to sing tenor. If I stood alongside of him, he would keep me on pitch and drown out my sour notes. We sang that song probably a dozen times, didn't we, Lynn? We also sang that. The 20th Ward was invited to sing at the Sunday School General Conference in the state, in the Tabernacle in Salt Lake City, and I stood right alongside Lynn Pulsifer in the Tabernacle singing that same song. Lynn, it's a pleasure having you here. You did a marvelous job. Marvelous words there in the garden. What a beautiful thought. What a tremendous thought. And so it is that I remember the things in life. I think they're important. Things in life that come back as we go through our journey, the stalwart people we have, the heritage we have, the closeness that our relatives have had, the supportive attitude of our relatives. I've always appreciated that. Aunt Gladys, I hope you'll remember that. I've always appreciated you three aunts always being there wherever we were at. There was never an occasion that they ever missed being there. Hardship or not, they were there. May of 1983, Aunt Gladys and Aunt Jewel drove up to the house and visited with my sweet wife, Joy. Aunt Gladys's eyesight was failing, and so they called upon Joy to ask her if she wouldn't act for her eyes, for Aunt Jewel, if she would read to her, help her see what she was doing, clean a few drawers, do a little genealogy work for her, and help her. And so she volunteered, not knowing that 11 years later, she would still continue to go there every Wednesday afternoon and spend the entire afternoon with Aunt Jewel, writing her checks, taking care of her banking accounts, going to the store, doing whatever she needed. I always thought about that. It really touched me. Here I was, a blood nephew, and I couldn't even find time to go see him. But my wife could go there every week. Every week. That is the gospel in action. That's what we're here for, brothers and sisters, to serve. That's all. Because we give service to all people. While we're in the service of our others, we're in the service of our Heavenly Father. We used to have to change schedules because Joy had to be at Aunt Jewel's on Wednesday. Well, we want to go on vacation? No, we don't go on vacation. We'll go to Aunt Jewel's first. Joy used to say she'd get tired of it, and I said, well, then don't go. Well, I can't. I've got to be there to help her. But the ironic thing was, just a few years ago, Aunt Jewel was telling me, my daughter was born the same year as Joy. Joy was my daughter that I didn't have a chance to raise. They were both born in 1932. Jewel's daughter was born in October. My wife was born in November. And Aunt Jewel really looked upon Joy as her daughter, as a daughter that took care of her as she aged in life. So, brothers and sisters, there's been many, many fine memories. My Aunt Jewel, my Aunt Gladys, my Uncle Byron, and all that they've done for us as the family now progresses forward, climbs onto the next life. It's fantastic. We get to follow. We get to carry on. We get to be the banner carriers now. And can we continue to do the good job that they have done? Can I be as supportive of my family as they have been of me? Will I continue to give my efforts that they have done for me in the past? And if I ever get sick and old, I hope I can run across somebody that'll come and take care of me every week. I think that's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Brothers and sisters, the gospel's true. We know it, or we wouldn't be here. We know Jesus Christ lives. We know the plan of salvation is there. Now, whether or not we want to live it, that's the story. It's not that we don't know it. We do. It's whether we want to follow, have a celestial address, or we're satisfied with the telestial address. Whether we want to live on Prophet Street or down on Skid Row Avenue, all depends on to us, but we know it's there. We're not fooled. We know there's a God. We know there's a Jesus Christ. No one has to tell us that, but whether we want to follow in the footsteps of our heritage, that is our goal. May we have that desire to do so. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yes, there, up there will Though dark thy way, still sing and praise. Sometime we'll understand.
Appreciate the wonderful music that was shared this day, as well as the remarks. I talked with my Uncle Gordon before he stood up and said he had nothing prepared, and then proceeded to ramble on a beautiful talk as if he had it all memorized. I've got something prepared, and I feel like I'm unprepared now. I just want to share with you some thoughts that I had about my great aunt, Aunt Jewel, and my relationship with her these last few years was a little different as being her bishop. Every year her recommend would come due this time of the year, and her neighbor, Anna McCullough, would always be the one to line it up, and I'd go over to Jewel's house and there proceed to give temple recommend interviews to Anna and to Jewel, and you'd have to speak real loud to visit with Anna so she could hear all the questions. And then I'd proceed to start talking to Jewel, and she said, "You don't need to yell at me, I can hear fine, it's just that I can't see." And I just have to show her where it was that she'd sign, and it just always took a little bit of time to sit there and visit with her, and we'd always have great visits just to sit there and chat, and she'd tell me about my children, and she knew my children's birthdays better than I did, and she'd probably not even had the opportunity to see many of them because of her eyesight, but it wouldn't take much to walk up and say who you are, and she'd remember, and she'd bring up things and how everyone's doing, and it was just always a pleasure to visit with her. She definitely did have that keen mind. Last Saturday, our stake had a Thanksgiving dinner for the singles, elder singles in our stake, and had the opportunity there to visit with her a little bit, and she was sharp all the way up until the end, and was grateful to have the chance recently to visit and speak with her. As I was preparing this talk, or what I might say, my wife was telling me, "Well, just give the same one you shared at Dallas 5 months ago." And she proceeded to tell me about the story with President Benson when he was asked by some organization with agriculture to come and speak, and he was asked again to speak a year later, and he says, "Well, I just spoke there," and the fellow who asked him proceeded to say, "Well, don't worry about it, they don't remember anything you said anyway," so I felt like maybe I can get away with that today and just share a few thoughts, and some of you may remember, some of you may not. At the conclusion of my remarks, however, I just want to point out that we'll have a musical selection again by Brother Pulsifer, accompanied by his wife, "Abide With Me, 'Tis Eventide," and then our benediction will be offered by Brother David B. Erickson. And then we've asked those nephews and grandnephews who are present if they would take part in serving as pallbearers this day. And then at the conclusion of our services, we'll proceed to go to the Ogden City Cemetery, and where the dedication of the grave will be offered by a longtime home teacher of Jewel's, Clarence Falinga. And I'll mention publicly now that for the family members that are here, there will be a gathering back at the 44th Ward, opportunity to visit. If you want to visit today and don't want to be too cold standing there by the graveside, you can visit back at the ward. Again, want to thank Lois and Uncle Gordon for sharing their remarks this day and kind of setting the tone for what I might say for just a few moments. It seems like whenever somebody passes away, it doesn't matter the circumstances behind it, we always stop and think about what's next in our existence. We spend our lifetimes working and living, and then eventually we die, and we sometimes wonder what's next. And Hopefully today you felt the Spirit, and what I might say to you will touch your spirit, and hope then that we can strive to focus the remaining days that we may have upon this earth in doing the things which will be pleasing to our Heavenly Father. President David O. McKay kind of likened life's experiences to that of a tree, and he made the statement that our earthly existence is but a test as to whether we'll concentrate our efforts, our mind, our soul upon things that will contribute to the comfort and gratification of our physical nature, or whether we will make our life's pursuits the acquisition of spiritual qualities. In short, he said that the development of one's spiritual qualities will determine whether or not our life has been a good tree, and it will be determined only by the quality of the fruit or the spiritual gifts which come therefrom. And I would hope that we might take that words of counsel into our life. Aunt Jewel's passed away. Some of us were able to experience some of the fruit that she had within her lifetime, and hopefully we might be able to present that same to those that we come in contact with. Salvation, meaning eternal life, is reserved only for the faithful. It is offered to all men in all ages on the same terms and conditions. The Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The prophet Lehi says, "And the way is prepared from the fall of man, and salvation is free." Salvation is in Christ, and it comes because of his atoning sacrifice. The sacrifice which only God could make took place in Gethsemane when he sweat great drops of blood from every pore, which suffering caused myself, as he says, even God, the greatest of all, to suffer, to tremble because of pain, and to bleed at every pore, and to suffer both body and spirit, and would that I might not drink the bitter cup and shrink. And that also took place as he hung on the cruel cross of Calvary during the last 3 hours of that agonizing ordeal, while the darkness overspread the land and the pains and suffering at Gethsemane returned. He came into the world not alone to suffer in Gethsemane, but also at Golgotha. I came into the world to do the will of my Father, because my Father hath sent me. He said, and my Father sent me that I might be lifted up upon the cross. Those of us who try to work out our salvation alone, try to do things on ourselves, will fail. The only way that we can make it back to our Heavenly Father's presence is to follow the teachings that he has set. There's a thought I'd like to share with you. It says that hopefully each one of us will so live that those who know us but don't know him will want to know him because they know us. President Eldon Tanner once said, "Never let us forget that we are architects of our own fates. God is not responsible for the consequences of our acts. He gives us the word, the truth, and the rules to follow, and the opportunity to learn and act and to progress." The object of our earthly existence, as Elder Bruce R. McConkie once said, is that we may have the fullness of joy, that we may become the sons and daughters of God in the fullest sense of the word, being heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, to be kings and priests unto God, to inherit glory, dominion, exaltation, thrones, and every power and attribute developed and possessed by our Heavenly Father. This is the object of our being on this earth. In order to attain unto this exalted position, it is necessary that we go through this mortal experience or probation. It is necessary that we go through these to prove ourselves worthy through the aid of our elder brother Jesus Christ. In conclusion, I just want to point out that, you know, it doesn't really matter when we leave this life. We don't take with us our degrees, our bottom line, our position in life, our homes, or whatever. The only thing we take with us is our testimonies. And we have to experience many hardships to gain the needed experiences that will help us in the next life. I just want to close leaving you my testimony that this is all part of our Heavenly Father's plan, that we come to this earth to obtain a body, to live, and to hopefully be happy and find joy in our experiences. But when we have the trials come upon ourselves, that we take them and use them as a blessing, if it can be. And thus, as was stated through the atonement of Jesus Christ, the only way we can make it back to our Heavenly Father's presence is if we will, as was shared in testimonies earlier, lean upon that, repent of our sins, and live and submit our lives to the will of our Heavenly Father. And if we will do these things, then I envision that it's a great experience when we leave this life and move on and meet loved ones that are waiting there to welcome us. My wife had the opportunity of being with Irvine when Aunt Jewel passed away, and just thinking about, you know, at different times, it's like a birth. I haven't had the opportunity to see anyone pass and leave this life. I've had the chance on a few occasions to see a few lives come into this world, and it's a birth. And as soon as a child comes, the pain and suffering is over that the mother is experiencing. And it's a whole new joy and experience there. And when someone leaves this life, the suffering that is associated with so many people when you do die, again, it's a birth moving on to a new part of our existence. And whether or not we want to believe that, you know, for those that are present, I guess it doesn't really matter, because it is true, and I testify to you that it is. And I look forward to the opportunity of experiencing that. Not that I really want to see that happen in the near future, but when death does come upon all of us, I hope that it is a great joy. And if we live our lives in accordance with Heavenly Father's wills and desires, and keeping His commandments, it can be. And this I leave with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll now have our concluding musical selection and then the benediction.
Our Father in Heaven, as we come to the close of this beautiful memorial service for Aunt Jewel, we appreciate the opportunity to gather together as friends and relatives and neighbors and to reflect on the memory of a good person. We appreciate, Heavenly Father, the good example Aunt Jewel was for us and for the many kindnesses and remembrances of birthdays and holidays and that she shared with us over the years. We're thankful for the good example that she was of endurance and faithfulness, and for the privilege it was to be served and to serve her. We appreciate the gospel of Jesus Christ and for the faith and hope that it gives us. We pray that thy spirit, that thou wilt look after Aunt Jewel as she's with her husband and children and mother and father, and pray that she'll be comfortable in her new environment and know that things are being looked after here, and that we'll be well, and that we're looking forward to joining her in her celestial life. We pray that thy spirit will be with us and with our families, and that we can go on to have good lives and by remembering the things that she shared with us. And we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Everyone, please arise.